It is currently 4:04 on July 21st, 2021. And I'm going to call the meeting for July of the Board of Trustees for the Parlin Ingersoll Public Library to order. We've got three present in person. We have two present via Zoom. I would note that before we went on the record, we had a discussion with about another trustee who was trying to come in by Zoom. We do have a quorum, and we have quite an agenda this week. So I thought it best to go ahead and get started, but hopefully we'll see Kathy join us when she can. So without further ado, let's take a look at the minutes of the June 16th meeting and see if we have any additions or corrections. I was looking through my pile for these, and I'm like, oh, I just set them over to the side. There they are. If nobody has any additions or corrections, is there a motion to approve?
I'll make that motion.
We have a motion. Do we have a second? Yeah, oh, absolutely. We can just go on trust, of course. Hearing no further discussion, let's take a roll call, though.
Okay, Jana Emmons.
Aye.
You were muted. Can you?
Yeah, I'm unmuted. Can you not hear me?
Not hearing you.
Chris, can you hear me?
I can hear you, Jana. Can you hear me?
Oh, dear.
Yes.
Yeah, I think we are having those audio issues. Well,
I tested it before. I didn't
think it was on our end, but let me try this real quick.
One moment, guys.
Okay, can someone speak? Can we hear you now?
Can you hear me now?
Jana? No.
Yep, I'm here.
Can you hear me?
Let me put it all the way up. Anything?
I bet it is a laptop though, because usually when you adjust the volume, it gives you a little beep to let you know.
Yeah, I mean, I rebooted, everything was updated. We tested it last time and it was fine. Chris and I can hear each other.
Okay. Yes.
Can you give me a yes in chat?
Yes, that's actually,
okay.
That's okay.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Or a thumbs up. I can see Chris.
Yeah, we got.
Okay. Kim Fraley.
Aye.
Okay. Laura isn't here.
Chris.
Aye.
Kathy Ludlam, still not on.
Trig.
Aye.
Rhonda.
Aye.
Keely is absent.
Okay, so those will stand as submitted. The next item on the agenda is for public comment. No one is present in person. Do we see anybody from the public on the Zoom call?
No, I do not.
Okay, moving on in that case to communications.
Okay, a couple of quick things. We do have, I sent an email, but just a reminder to everyone, we do have a meeting of the Charles Ingersoll Trust beneficiaries on Wednesday, July 28th at 1:30. It's in the big room at the Mid-America Bank. If anybody's interested in attending, let me know. But I will go ahead then and post that agenda. Okay. Second item I had, we were awarded for FY 2021, the Illinois Per Capita Grant. They had increased funding, so we would be expecting $21,688.40. It's been awarded. It hasn't, we haven't received the check yet. I don't know when those checks might be coming, but I just wanted to pass that along. Staffing vacancies and updates. I wanted to just keep you apprised of a few things. Brenda Hatzel had submitted her information about retiring, and her last day will be August 20th. I was able to hire Jessica Sparenberg, and she is going to be our new circulation manager. She will start on Monday. But we also have Margie Shelby, who's been with us 16 years. She is hoping to retire in the fall. We have a college student, Eleanor Fournier, who has resigned as of the end of July because she's going off to school. In addition, I have another staff member who is currently off on medical leave because of having a procedure done. And I have a fifth one that might be having a little bit of a long-term medical issue. We'll find out more details in the future. So you might be seeing some new faces, or you might see some really scrambling current employees. But I think we'll get through this, and we're looking forward to Jessica starting. Any questions on any of that? Okay. I have an update on the audit. I heard from the auditor, and he's pulling together the last financial statements. He thought maybe he'd have them to me by the meeting, but obviously he has not. So if I get those early, I'll forward those on, but I'm hoping maybe we'll have something final on the audit for the August meeting. And a reminder, the August board meeting, if the governor does not extend his emergency declarations and the extension for the Open Meetings Act, we might have to meet in person. So just keep that in mind. I'll keep everyone posted, but we might not be able to do this hybrid meeting.
It gets very unlikely if that's going to get extended again.
And then I just wanted to bring up, as part of the standards and for the upcoming per capita grant, we said we would do the annual library walkthrough. And I thought it would be a good time to do that in August, where maybe after the meeting, the board can walk through the inside of the building and the outside of the building, and we can talk about things that need to be done. I am right now seeing Kathy Ludlum.
All right.
So let me see if I can bring her on. Kathy, I don't know if you can hear me, but some people are having trouble again hearing us. So,
yes, I can hear you.
Can you hear me? Can you nod yes or
no? Computer problems.
You're looking very choppy with your connection. There's a possibility you could also click on the chat button at the bottom of the window, and you can answer yes or no, or at least give us a thumbs up if you can hear us.
Yes, I can hear you.
Other than that, I was just
rippling.
Library walkthrough that we'll do in August. And that was all I had on communications.
Okay, in that case, we'll move on to the main agenda for the month. And as usual, the first item would be the consent agenda. Which was included in everybody's packet. Is there any questions, or in the absence of any questions or discussion, motion to approve it?
I'll make the motion to approve.
We have one from Rhonda. I'm gonna second it because I think our population of people that can make motions in seconds is a bit lower. So I will second the motion. Is there any further discussion? No one's reacting, hearing none.
Okay.
Let's take a roll call vote.
Okay, Rhonda Vogel.
Aye.
Trig Mead.
Aye.
Kathy Ludlum. Can you give
aye.
Me a thumbs up?
Aye.
Yes?
Yes.
Yes, nod. Okay. Right.
Okay, we'll take it.
Okay, Chris Layton. He's giving us a yes. Kim Fraley.
Aye.
And then Jana Emens. And in chat, she says yes.
Okay, that will pass unanimously in that case. The next item on the agenda is for closed sessions.
Yes, and we do not have any closed sessions, so okay. I just thought formally we need to bring that up twice a year. I don't know if we need a motion on that.
I don't think as long as
But otherwise, I can just say
we
have none.
Looked at it and determined that we didn't need to take any action. So we will move on in that case to the COVID-19 situation that arose this month.
Yeah, just to kind of bring everybody up to date, I don't know if you had read your action item memo, but just to bring people up to speed, at the last meeting, the board had recommended different procedures and policies for masking that we have posted on the front door. I had a staff member get very concerned, a vaccinated staff member get very concerned when she saw that some of the children in the children's room were not wearing a mask. So for a period there, we did put up a sign saying that children must wear a mask, but then we had people complain about that too, parents not wanting to have to mask their children. So I called Trey just to verify my recollection from the last meeting that the board wanted to recommend masking but not require it. This particular staff member then did tell me that she felt everyone should follow what the CDC says, And if the Delta variant would get worse and the board did not require masking, that she would quit. Since that time, everything has been very calm. No one has made any other comments. I've asked several times if other parents or staff have commented. No one has. The CDC site actually does say the children should wear a mask, not that they must. So I think we're dealing with some, you know, must and should and required and recommended verbiage here. But we, you know, when I talked with Trigg, he thought, well, let's just get any comments and then the board can revisit it at today's meeting. And at this point in time, I think everything I have seen is still pretty much saying the same. You know, some libraries are requiring the mask, but most libraries are saying no and just going with recommended. While they had said on the employment side that you can ask if someone has been vaccinated, you can't ask any of the issues why. But a most recent one I went to said that unless you are mandating all your staff to wear a mask, don't even bother asking. Just assume that your sign says recommended and do the same. So at this point, I don't know, but I just thought I would fill you in on what we've been experiencing. It's been calm after a very contentious week about it. And I'm not sure at this point if the schools will require it or if it will be required only of those that are unvaccinated. So
I don't want to poison the well. By saying what I think about this before we jump into a discussion. So I was just curious what everybody's reaction was to that situation. You guys might have to put it in the chat.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you can put it in the chat, I have got the speakers plugged in this time, and that doesn't seem to be helping.
Can you hear?
Because we've got everything audio-enabled. But I will read out loud anything that people put in the chat. If anybody has any comments or if people are comfortable leaving it at recommended until what the governor might shut it down or go backwards, or it's like who, from everything I can see, they are not making a statement about libraries. Libraries are considered governmental and it is a local decision. So unless we have a complete state shutdown, I think it's going to be a local decision. Would you say, Trigg?
Yeah, we get to make the call about what we want to do. I would note that we are again experiencing an increase in cases. Our numbers, I think, quadrupled from the week before.
Okay, this is from Chris. Didn't the school board make a decision Monday on their mask guidance?
We did, and I'm looking at the notes trying to find what they actually said. So
I don't know if you can hear that, but Kim is checking notes. Okay.
I'm sort of curious to hear what they did.
Yeah, I was hoping I'd see Tad Dorenzi today, but I did not. So I was going to ask as well.
He'll probably be there on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, at the risk of it, while we're looking for the notes, my feeling is that if no one else is doing it, there's no utility to being the only people that are. Unfortunately, you know, people are going to make choices that I don't necessarily agree with. I'm not wearing one right now. I have been vaccinated, and have been for a few months now. I think that the benefit that we're going to get from being the only place in town that does it is minuscule. And obviously the difficulty that the staff had in dealing with it was pretty, pretty high. And if we're not willing to enforce the rules, and clearly a lot of the staff are not, it doesn't really make a lot of sense to post them. Because that's the definition of a situation where you're getting nothing and you're just making people mad. So it's kind of a no gain, all loss situation the way I see it. So for better or for worse, and it's hard for me to say which of those two it's gonna be. I don't really see a whole lot of help in us making any change at this point. And I see a lot of difficulty getting staff to enforce it. And I'm sorry about the person who is worried about the Delta variant escalating. I am also worried that that might happen. However, I don't really see what we're gonna do about it. And I'm sorry that she feels like she would resign. But I would note that if it escalates and the governor makes people wear masks, we'll probably have to enforce that. So, in that unhappy event, she'll probably get her wish. So.
After school comes into session, and if they require it, wouldn't it be easier than in August that we implement it? I mean, if it's going to be a school-wide, it seems like it may be accepted a little bit better.
I think so too, although, and I would feel differently about it at that point because then we wouldn't be the only people that are making people do it.
A big organization.
You know, there is no, I mean, no business is requiring it at this point. So I would revisit it if we go back to school and that's what they're doing. I think maybe we would want to take a second look at it.
I know American Academy of Pediatrics recommends that children wear masks. I thought I saw on the ISBE site that again, they say if they're unvaccinated, the children should, and if they're vaccinated, they don't have to. But I don't know what our local school said.
So I'm looking at the notes and I can't find anything, but I am on the school board meeting and it's just right at the very beginning when they talked about it. It's mandated on school buses, I've got that.
And that's required by transportation.
And they're talking about what we were just talking about.
Okay, with that said, I am very proud of our administrative team. They began moving forward, creating guidelines and policies that make changes based on board recommendations. It is our intent to give direction to the board tonight. We will then finish those policies. We'll have a special board meeting sometime between tonight and the board is for your stars to bring those to the board to hopefully have those done. Right now, it is my recommendation in the past, I applaud the school board for being diligent and safe. I applaud you for following the guidance from the help.
Now it's starting to cut out. So. Sorry.
Were they just basically following CDC guidance? I mean, was that basically the, okay.
And that was if they're unvaccinated, then they should mask up and those children that are vaccinated do not have to?
I believe so.
Okay.
You say, but it should, not must.
Yeah, again, so. It's the,
and
the
then
should.
I think he said that they were going to come back to a special meeting before school started, if I remember.
So ratify like policy language based on what they were going to do.
Okay.
Okay, well, I think our current sign basically does what the CDC says we should do, which is tell people that they should.
Okay.
Would it be helpful to use the exact verbiage that they use? Because they say, I mean, the verbiage is different on our sign and on what the, so isn't it a little bit different? We say recommend, they say should, I don't know, I mean, do you think it would be helpful to
bring the exact sign?
Would it be helpful to use the exact same? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think that.
I think I put it in the action item memo.
It says vaccinated masks are required, unvaccinated strongly recommended to protect the children and immune compromised greatly appreciated.
Okay. I don't know how much people are really looking at that unless you're looking to enforce it.
Yeah.
Because my person that complained said the CDC said you have to, and when I looked it up, I realized it just said should.
The CDC
must.
Can't say that you have to.
Yeah.
They don't,
you know,
the governor is the one that would say that you have to. So.
And then the Pediatric Association also says should or recommended.
Yes.
So it's the same, I mean.
Yeah.
So could, on our side, would it be helpful to put as per the CDC and American Pediatric Association, and then put their wording, and then just leave it at that and say, we're following the guidelines of the CDC and the...
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think
that... Do you want to change this sign? Do you want to add that at the bottom of the sign?
There's this much conflict. I mean, so the sign is just... So the sign, basically, we all know that it's the same. It's following the guidelines. But if you were to put as per the CDC... and American Pediatric Association, mm-hmm. then you're like putting it back on them, and it's not, does that make sense?
Yeah, we're sort of kicking it up the chain a little bit, right? Like, it's not us. It's
even
not
though us. People yeah. think they say must and it should, and people, well, you know, I mean, we could just have that at the bottom and just say as per them and just have that as the bottom of the sign.
Yeah.
So I see that. Did we have any trouble with the sign as written before we put up the dry erase board that said that they had to? Because that was kind of my understanding.
The one parent said the sign on the door is different than what the dry erase board. The complaint was there was nothing right in front of the children's room that said what they had to do for the children. So then we put the dry erase board there. And then that's where I had said must, because the staff member was very, very upset.
Oh, okay.
And then the parent complained because they didn't agree, which is true. And then I talked to Trig, and then that's when we made the sign at the children's room say that unvaccinated children, instead of must, are recommended to wear a mask.
Because that would have made the signs consistent with
agreed.
Each other, right?
Mm-hmm. Just because they are unvaccinated and masks are strongly recommended. So we just had the dry erase board say recommended.
So my thought about what recommendation would be is that in a perfect world, that's exactly what I would do. And I'm a little hesitant to change anything because it was contentious and now it's not. Like, that would be my only sort of like hesitancy, but, you know, it's just that like we have reached a state of not having had any problems with it for the last couple of weeks. And if we're not going to change anything substantive, I don't know that I would necessarily
start
change anything.
Yeah.
I mean,
okay.
Cool down a little bit.
Yeah. After that week, there's been no comment. But I have Chris says I like that. Chris, are you meaning you like that they would put per CDC and American Academy of Pediatrics at the bottom of the sign? Is that what your comment in chat is? 1 minute. He's going to type something.
It's like charades.
I have no idea technically what's going on, but
it's one word typing the secretary of the movie.
Yeah. I'll give him a minute. He says, well, I like knowing we are consistent with the CDC. However, changing the sign won't address the staff person's issue.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes. I think that's that. I mean, I'm this is going to sound flip. I know I'm being recorded, but I think they might be kind of out of luck. I mean, it's unfortunately, mm-hmm. unless they're will. I mean, we're just not willing, I think, to do what that person wants us to do. Which would be to exceed what the CDC is telling people.
I don't think we can exceed the CDC, and I don't think we can do that, can we? I mean,
what I've had from some of the attorneys say, you can be stricter.
Yeah, you totally can be stricter.
Than what it is.
But why would you? I mean, if...
But I didn't see anything the other way, and that was the handout at the previous meeting from some of the legal comments.
I think you can't do anything less than what the governor tells you that you have to do. Mm-hmm. And his orders have been pretty much tracking with what the CDC has said. They've just sort of been like one-to-one, mm-hmm. The same thing. So, Yeah, I mean, if the staff member's position is that we should be requiring children who were not vaccinated to wear masks, I think that's a further than we're willing to go, unless I'm dramatically misreading the room here.
Okay, and then he has typed, it sounds like there is a misunderstanding that we aren't consistent with the CDC.
But we are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the CDC wording says should, not must, and recommended, not required. So while people feel that the CDC is mandating it, they're really not. And IDPH isn't mandating it. They're mm-hmm. saying should. So I think that's where I think people assume that they're saying you have to, and they're not really saying that. They're just strongly recommending it.
But it's really the staff member who's having that difficulty, right? Because I think the parent's issue is just the signs are different from each other.
Yeah, and the parent right? didn't want to have their child masked. The staff member is the one, and I have noticed in a variety of levels since this has started that people have individual levels of fear factor, and it affects how quickly they react to different situations.
And she has maybe historically been a person during the situation who's been maybe at the higher end of that scale.
She was one of the first to make sure she got her vaccine. And she was, again, I felt badly when she told me she had been worried all week since Monday when she came in. I heard this on Friday that she was worried all week because she wasn't seeing people masked, children masked. So and when she told me that, I just said, you know, I understand, and that's your choice. You know, we'll just see what she decides she wants to do. She's not said anything further, but when I said we were going to take comments, she said, I'll give you mine. And then she gave me those comments, and I have not had any other comments. So.
Well, it seems to me that the choices before us are either to do nothing or to clarify the signs and make it clear that we're going by what the CDC recommends. Either of which I think is okay. You know, I think to me, again, like the only reason why I would even hesitate, I mean, because I think that's a very good idea, is just that it's sort of like reached this level of having leveled off a little bit, and so maybe it's better not to stir the pot any further. On the other hand, if the pot is stirred further anyway, you know, then it would be nice to be clear that we're just doing what the CDC wants us to do.
I think the one thing is, will we always agree with the CDC, or will we maybe do more? Or, you know, we're not basing everything necessarily on everything they say, but you know, at this time in accordance with the CDC, you know, or date the sign. Sometimes you just, you know, you just never know what's going to go, but I don't see any other comments yet.
Well, so if we're going to change something, we need to have a motion. I think we don't if we're just going to leave it the same. So does anybody want to make a motion to change it to include language like say that the CDC, or to clarify it so to make it clear that the recommendations are in accordance with CDC guidelines and APA guidelines?
Do you feel that if we do that, if we make that change on the sign at the bottom, that's going to stir things up? You don't feel it's going to stir up? People probably won't even.
I don't even think they're going to.
They're not
going to
notice it.
Probably not.
Unless they're looking for an argument, maybe.
That's true.
I don't know. I mean,
But like, those are the people that you would want to see it.
Yeah.
Like the people that are like scrutinizing the sign and looking for it are the ones that you would want to be able to say, like, look, this is like.
And we have to make sure that our signs are consistent. If we have it on both doors and right there at the children's room, they need to be consistent and
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that does seem to be where the Right. Yeah, with a controversy.
And now they both say recommended.
Yes.
So.
Any other comments from those of you Zooming in?
Or motions.
Or motions?
For that matter. I thought so too. I thought, there's strong feelings. I think given that the people that are going to be likely to see it are the ones that are maybe that we would want to send that message to, I think that sort of persuades me that it is a good idea. Because I think that those are the ones that we really want to reach. That's the audience that we want to reach. So I will make that motion to say that we're doing it in accordance with CDC guidelines.
Okay, and just put that at the bottom of the existing flyer and just put per CDC guidelines?
That's like maybe like an asterisk and then, or like it's like a footnote, like per CDC guidelines.
Yeah.
Okay.
See, that I'm a little less sure about. Because they're not governmental. I mean, I guess.
Oh, they're not government. Oh, then we probably shouldn't include that, maybe? I don't know.
Maybe not, okay. Just because it's like.
Chris says, I motion that we keep the sign as is and have discussions with those that disagree. So you're meaning deal with individuals when they have a comment?
Or talk to the staff member.
Or talk to the staff member? Talk to the staff member. I think that was a talk to the staff member.
So I would do that. Because I think you've already sort of like had those discussions, right? With the staff member who was sort of.
I just said that the board made the wording policy at the last meeting and that, you know, that I understand her feelings and it's her choice on what she does.
So
then we would revisit it at this meeting.
So I think that if we're going to want to address it with that staff member, if we want to do that, it would be a little unusual for a board member to talk directly to a staff member. Like normally we go through you,
mm-hmm.
But it's a board decision and we made it. And I don't want to put you in that position. But I do see the utility in talking to them, you know, and just sort of like saying like, hey, we really did think about this. You know, we weighed the costs, we weighed the benefits, we weighed the decision. You can tell me whatever you want to tell me, you know, and know that you're being taken seriously, like know that your concerns are being addressed, like know that they're being heard. And I would probably, maybe me and maybe anybody else, I mean, like maybe not just me, but like me and another person from the board or me and, like I was going to say the whole board and I think that might be a little intimidating for a staff member to just be like facing down like all of us, like sort of staring at them and, you know, but I mean, I would do that unless you don't want to. I mean, cause like I would sort of feel as though in your position, I wouldn't want to give you the veto over because I wouldn't necessarily want to like have us be like the committee of appeal for everything decision that you make that they don't like, you know, because I mean, you're in charge, you know, I mean, of the staff.
I don't mind telling her that, you know, everyone discussed it very thoroughly and the decision was to keep the signage as, and right now we're signage as is, right, without any other changes, you know.
Well, that's the motion on the table.
Okay, to keep the sign
as
is. Okay.
And then.
And is that your motion?
That was Chris's, but we might also have a motion to add as per CDC guidelines, like as a footnote. Goodness. If there's anything to the board, like to one of us meeting with her and just saying like, look, we listened to this is why we made the decision we made. I mean, I
don't mind speaking with her and saying we had a long discussion about it and just felt that, you know, the CDC guidelines are guidelines and they say the word should and not must and they're not required and that we felt it was best to stick with that.
Okay.
And if she has further concerns, I can, you know, we can revisit it again at the August meeting.
And we're all at our own different comfort levels. So we have to respect each other's comfort levels. Mm-hmm. We have to respect, just because my comfort level is wearing a mask.
Right, I'm not wearing one.
You're not the trick. I mean, yeah. So I have to respect your level and you're respecting mine. So I think if you explain that to her and then maybe if she still has, you know, further, maybe, you know, meet with, I don't know.
Yeah, or, I mean, and this is going to sound, I mean, you know, sort of flip it, like maybe examine whether there's an anxiety issue. Yeah, I mean, if this is like something that she's really struggling with, you know, like struggling with, not having valid concerns that, you know, we address and talk about and things like that. But if she's struggling, maybe that would be like anytime you're struggling with something, it would be maybe a good idea to address that, you know, and see if there's maybe an issue there that we're glossing over, you know. Well, okay. So we might just have to resolve this by democracy. So I'll put a motion on the table as well, which would be to change the sign to add as an asterisk as per CDC guidelines. So we're going to take both motions up and take a roll call vote on each of them. And whichever one gets the most votes is going to win. And that's how democracy works.
Okay, so our first motion is keep the sign as is?
Yeah, it was, yes, that one is up first. And I'm going to vote for both of them. So that's like a...
Okay, so the motion is keep the sign as is.
Because I think that they have...
Okay, and that was a Chris Layton motion?
Yes.
And do we have a second?
I will second it.
Okay.
Floor.
Okay. Roll call vote. Jana Emens. Yes. Kim Fraley.
No.
No. Okay. Chris Layton. Yes. Kathy Ludlum.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Trig?
Yes.
Okay. Rhonda?
No.
No.
Okay. We're going to take the other one up too because we're going to see which one gets the most votes because other people, like I said, I'm going to vote for both. So.
Okay. Yeah. On that one, we have.
It's 4-2 in
favor. 4-2, right. Okay. Sorry, I'm trying to make all these notes. Okay. And then our second motion is. Trig moving that we will change the sign to just add at the bottom per CDC guidelines. Is there a second? Okay, that's Rhonda. Okay, we'll do it again. Roll call vote. Rhonda.
Aye.
Okay. Trig.
Aye.
Okay. Kathy.
Yes.
Yes. Chris. Yes. Kim.
Yes.
Yes. Jana, is that yes for this time? No. Okay.
So we have 5-1 on that one.
4-5, yes.
So that one won.
Okay. So we are going with, I will change the signage on the doors and the sign entering the children's room and just put a little asterisk per CDC guidelines.
I think that was my version of Robert's rules.
Okay.
How to resolve that, resolve those two
motions. That's all right. We got there.
We did. It is now 4:43 and we have
like
11
policies,
more items on the agenda.
The policies so. Will go fast. It's,
yes.
It's the next two items that might have discussion.
So the next one is about Christmas bonuses. And so to summarize, basically, we've done it historically. They have not been what I would call especially lavish Christmas bonuses. The question would be, now that we're taxpayer funded, do we want to continue to do that? Even knowing now that our budget might be a little bit more scrutinized and the public might agree with the propriety of giving Christmas bonuses. In the interest of time, I'm going to say what I think, and I'll just trust you that I'm not going to poison the well. Please also say what you think. I don't think it's anybody's business, what we do to attract and retain our employees, beyond a certain point. It's not terribly expensive. I think that they're used to it. I don't think that anything substantive has changed in the job that they're doing. And they've been asked to do a lot more this year to work with these guidelines and adapt to the changes. And I would not be in favor of taking them away. But what does everybody else think?
I was doing some research. I didn't find anything that being a taxing body that it's illegal
nope.
to give bonuses. I think we can still do that, right?
As far as I know, yeah. I can't think of anything that would mean that we can't.
I can't find anything. So, okay, thank you.
I would need to take it away.
Any comments from our Zoomers? Keep them, says Jana. Chris. Keep them, yes? Is that a yes from Chris? Okay. And Kathy, keep them?
Okay.
Since we're not making a change, there's no need for a motion. So we will move on to the next item on the agenda, which is the longevity bonuses. Again, just to sort of summarize what's in the action item memo. The controversy again is this proper for a taxpayer supported institution to do? We have done them in the past for Sandra, is it Eames? Is that Eames' last name? Yeah. And Ms. Schultz, who both got $500 and Randy got $1,000. We do have an upcoming retirement next month in Brenda Hatzel, who has been with the library for 36 years. And another one, Margie is going to retire with 16 this fall.
She's part-time.
But she's part-time. And we have not historically done them for part-time employees. Mm-hmm. So the question, I think, would really be, is Brenda going to get one? And if so, how much? And is Margie going to get one? And if so, how much? So...
no comments yet online.
Does anybody have strong feelings one way or the other? I guess I would sort of say that I always feel like we have an out because anything that we think that the public isn't going to like, we can just say it was trust money. Not that that's like something that I necessarily like. You know, I mean, it is still two-thirds privately funded. We maybe get a little bit of flexibility there, although we do still use the public funds accounting that we're supposed to, you know, or voluntarily just do that. I mean, I guess I would say the same consideration in my mind about like taking them away from people who are used to getting them doesn't necessarily apply because there isn't necessarily like an expectation that you're going to get it. That being said, Brenda is wonderful. You know, she's been here for her entire career basically. And Margie, I'm sure, is also wonderful. We hear a lot about Brenda and how great she is. So I would probably, if it were up to me, sort of like compromise and do one for Brenda because she's full-time and not for Marjorie because she's part-time and might not have like the same sort of like expectation. She also doesn't have as many years as the people who have got them in the past do. So there might be like a little bit of a difference in situation there. Does anybody have strong feelings for or against giving Brenda one?
Don't see anything yet on Zoom.
36 years is a long time.
Yeah.
And I mean,
I think it would be very nice to do something.
I think it would be very nice, yeah.
And I think she's moving. I mean, yes. So it'd be nice to maybe, you know, like moving, as I just found out last month, is very expensive. And I moved in town. So it's nice to.
Chris says, I think Brenda deserves one.
Mm-hmm. Well, why don't we do this? Why don't we have a motion on whether we're going to give her one at all? And then have a motion and then talk about how much? Maybe that would be like the right way to split that up. So I'll put forth a motion to award a longevity bonus to Brenda upon her retirement, but not to do one for Margie, who is part-time and has fewer years than other employees who have got them in the past.
I'll second that.
Okay.
Any further discussion? Let's take a roll call vote, sorry.
Okay, Jana. She says yes.
It's going to be hard to stop doing that next.
Kim?
Yes.
Okay. Chris? Thumbs up. Kathy?
Yes.
Yes. Drake?
Aye.
And Rhonda?
Aye.
Okay.
So historically, for 21 years, Sandra Eanes and Linda Schultz both got $500. Randy got $1,000 after 30, but he was like the executive director. So maybe that, you know, gives you a little bit more of a consideration than the circulation manager, which is obviously super important. I suppose in between those two numbers, it'd be 750. So that might be a good guideline to look at. So I might just throw that number out and see if there's any interest in 750, or if it should be more because she's got more years, you know, or less.
Any dollar amounts. Janice says 1,000.
Okay. 1,000 on the floor.
Anybody else? Concur or?
36 years of dependable service, I'd say 1,000.
Okay. So do we want a motion then? We've got two on that.
Yeah, I mean, I'll make a motion to do 1,000.
Okay, so Trig moves for 1,000. Kim, second, okay. Just a second. Okay, roll call vote, Rhonda. Trig?
Aye.
Kathy?
Yes.
Yes. Chris? Thumbs up. Kim?
Aye.
And Jana? And Jana says yes.
Okay. Great.
Okay.
Well, I mean, she deserves 10,000, but okay. You know, same.
Good, dependable employees.
So. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Hate to see her go.
Okay.
So the next item on the agenda is for our next piece of capital work here, which is, okay. We've got,
I emailed the
bids for everyone.
The bids to everybody, but I have printed copies here. This was one of our capital items that we had talked about. It's with replacing the outside lighting along the sidewalk that's on the north and the west side of the building. Those are called bollards. They haven't worked for quite a while, and to try and retrofit them was not possible. I consulted with Doug Bensinger at Phillips and Associates. They thought that the recommendation would be to replace the entire fixture. He got quotes from Quick Electric, and he got a quote from our Roy Keith Electric. We work with both of those companies, and they're both very good. The Quick Electric bid was $10,839. The Roy Keith bid came in at $11,610. And it was written up to do it as soon as possible, but no later than November. But we had looked at this over several years because the lighting output from those existing is not adequate and the parking lot lights do not provide quite enough candle. So this is one of those safety issues. But those are the two quotes.
Okay. Well, and this is something I think you included the email from Doug, right? Where
yes.
He had sort of said that this is a deep, like pretty good idea. Basically.
Yeah. Yeah. He said that this would increase the foot candles. I don't know if I have it right here, but it increases the lighting. He thinks that the bulbs, they're LEDs, they should last a long time, but he does think that they will be something that could be replaced by our maintenance man. There are no ballasts in LED lights. So I had asked those questions as well. And I did include in the packet, but they basically look like what the existing ones look like. They're louvered so that the direction of the lighting goes down, so it's not like it's going to, you know, blind anybody that's walking by or living near here. But it should take care of that safety issue, and they think they can use all the existing wiring and just replace the 8 bollards where the current ones are.
So we have one bid from Quick Electric of Fairview for $10,839. And one from Roy Keith Electric of Farmington for $11,610. And I sort of looked through, I mean, neither bid is substantially different from the other. They just sort of referenced the RFP and said, we'll do that, whatever it says in the RFP.
Chris is asking, how much did we budget for the project? I just had one lump sum budgeted for capital expenses at $75,000 for this year. We have a carryover of a little over $10,000 from the Eastside Ramp project, but otherwise I haven't even looked at booking anything else because I didn't know what this project would cost. So we would have plenty budgeted in capital expense for this. Some of the other items that we mentioned as possibilities for capital expense this year included sidewalk offsets, which again, I don't know how much that would cost. There are some areas where the offset on the sidewalk is quite a bit. So, but for right now, this would be within that $75,000 budgeted for capital improvements.
Is there any reason not to go with the lower bid? I mean, they're not substantially different, but.
Okay. Chris is saying you cut out there for a bit and are cutting out right now.
Uh-oh.
Okay. I don't know if you can hear me, but Trig was just asking if anybody had any reasons to choose one company over the other since the bids are fairly close. I know we've had work from both of them and they've both been good.
And a lower bid, should we take that as a taxing body now? That might be enough.
Yeah, I was going to say legally you have to bid out if it's $25,000 or more. So these are kind of quotes, but.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have to do it if we think that there's like a good reason not to. I mean, but I can't think of any reason why.
I think they're both responsible companies, so.
And I mean, the lower bid is not, like, I think we had one a couple years ago where the lower bid was, it came in like $20,000 into the next one, and it was almost nerve-wracking to think, like, what are they doing that's so different? You know, but this is not, that's, it's like $800 lower, it's about 8% lower. So I'm going to make a motion that we accept Quick, which is a lower bid for $10,839.
I'll second the motion.
Okay, Rhonda has seconded. We'll go roll call vote here. Jana, are you okay for Quick? Yes. Kim?
Yes.
Okay. Chris? Yes. Kathy?
Yes.
Yes. Trig?
Yes.
Okay, and Rhonda?
Yes.
Okay, that one passed.
So I am going to, unless anybody objects, take the next item on the agenda a little bit out of order. So I'm going to move the disposal of what of surplus artillery material policy to number 12. And take up items 7, 8, 10, 11, and 12 together as a group because it's 4:58, so we are coming up on time. So those five policies are the ones where no changes were recommended.
Other than disposal of library property.
Right, which that's the one that we moved.
A little addition. Yeah. Okay.
So the five, that would be the Code of Ethics, the Bloodborne Pathogen Policy, the drug and alcohol free policy, the ethics for trustees policy, and the immigration policy, which were included in the packet with no recommended changes. What I'm gonna say is that we can certainly approve them as is, or if anybody has any concerns, I would prefer to table them for the next meeting. Does anybody?
I don't see anything online.
Questions or concerns? Everybody's shaking their head. I will make a motion to approve as presented, meaning no changes, the following policies.
Okay.
The bloodborne pathogen policy, the code of ethics, the drug and alcohol free policy, the ethics for trustees policy, and the immigration policy.
I'll second that.
Kim Fraley has seconded. Okay. We'll go for roll call vote. Rhonda Vogel?
Aye.
Trig Mead.
Aye.
Kathy Ludlum.
Yes.
Yes, she's nodding. Chris Layton. Thumbs up. Kim Fraley. And Jana Emmons. Yes. Okay.
So those will pass without changes. Then taking up the disposal of surplus library materials policy, which we do have some potential changes to. This is from the ready reference, right?
Yes, but I actually looked at the revised, the compiled statutes, because there were changes in there that were not updated on the ready reference. Some of this encapsulized some of what was worded. I kind of sort of spelled out the differences that I saw in the action item memo. But basically the statute says that we need to offer to our municipality first right to purchase. And I know when we had PCs that we were retiring that were still in pretty good shape, we did call the city first in the past to just come take a look, and they did take some. So I incorporated that in section two. The section three wasn't listed in our copy, but it's in the statute that you can offer it to any other tax-supported library or library system. And then the other change, the paragraphs with the limits between more than $100 and less than $1,000 were really similar. So I just combined those. I moved the favoritism, no favoritism shown to the board paragraph to the very end. And then the notice of the detail of what to do for a sale, I just added referring to the statute. So, if you want to take a little longer to just double check those, that's fine. But I just remembered, and I looked at some other libraries that had recently updated policy and they had added those things. Then I looked in the recent copy of the statutes I had and I thought, oh, these are things that maybe should be in there that were not on the administrative ready reference. Even though it quotes statutes, so I guess it's kind of there, but it wasn't spelled out.
And we're all clear that personal property means like anything that you can move. Like it's not like, I don't know, people get sometimes.
Yeah,
like,
we have.
You explain that to clients sometimes, that like personal property doesn't necessarily mean what you think it means.
Yeah, I was going to say we have book sales and other things like that, but it's really referring to larger items.
Yeah, like if we're going to like sell the piano or something. Mm-hmm. I did look at the statute because I had never seen it before. So it does look like it. It looks like it conforms to the statute to me. So I would make a motion to approve it as written.
I'll second
the motion. Can we take a roll call vote?
Okay. Jana Emmons. Yes. Kim Fraley.
Yes.
Chris Layton. Thumbs up. Kathy Ludlum.
Yes.
Nodding. Yes. Trig.
Yes.
And Rhonda.
Fine.
Okay. So we have one more item on the agenda, which is update on possible trustee candidates. So last month, I have been given permission by the board to talk to Andrea Barconnect, who is out at Spinnerbrook College. She was interested. She is having currently an issue with a family member, which I'm just mindful that we're being recorded. So she is a caretaker for an elderly family member who doesn't have any other relation. And it is taking up a substantial amount of her time. She would be interested when that situation is no longer requiring so much of her time. So it's not exactly clear when that's going to happen. Obviously, we wish the best for that family member. So I think we're going to have to put her in our back pocket and just maybe approach her again if anything changes and we have another vacancy. So the next person that I would like to talk to with the approval of the board would be Tom Gillum. Tom works for, he's an architect and an engineer at the firm that we use. However, I think that he would be able to, to the extent that, I don't think they charge a fee, or if so, it's very, very rare that they do.
sometimes we'll get a fee like on the ramp and drawing up the diagrams. Okay. I would think we might, there was a diagram included with the lighting.
So what I would say is that I think he should recuse himself from anything that directly involves giving those people money. But we've talked for a while about the desirability of having somebody on the board who knows a little bit more. We've really been able to lean on Chris. He's really been great with expertise, about construction and about capital programs and things like that. It would be nice to have somebody who's maybe a little bit more of a specialist in that field as well. He's a year younger than me, so he might be another person who might be able to fulfill what I was told was a 30 to 40 year commitment to the board when I joined. So he might be interested in doing that. So he was the next one down on my personal list for people to talk to. I would be glad to talk to anybody. And he does live inside the city. That was something that we checked. Thank goodness.
Looking, any other comments or suggestions? Nothing in person here. Anything from our Zooming trustees?
Not really.
Not seeing anything coming through on the chat.
Okay. Well, I'll gauge his interest in that case, and hopefully I'll have good news to report back next month. Okay, well, that is the agenda for this month. There is a chamber event at 5:30 East Acres, which I'm really late for, so that's why I'm in a little bit of a hurry. Yes, indeed. So otherwise, unless there's any other business to come before the board, is there a motion to adjourn?
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Our last roll call vote.
Do we roll call vote an adjournment?
Just for old time's sake, because we're going
okay.
to be back next month.
Rhonda Vogel.
Hi.
Trig Mead.
Hi.
Kathy Ludlam.
Yes.
Chris Layton. Thumbs up. Two thumbs up. Kim Fraley. And Jana. Yes. I apologize for the sound issues, but hopefully we will try to figure something out. Well, hopefully we'll meet in person next time.
Well, yes, exactly. We'll be back in person.
Very good. Thank you, everybody. I'm going to stop the recording. Thank you.